Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 19th, 2018. We are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 28, the third paragraph. Today's readers are Stacy T. on the 12 Steps, Mary Jane Z. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Ashley P., Kathleen O., and Kathy Jo. Reference numbers for yesterday, the special edition on Sunday, February 18th, 2018, is 11,064, so that's 11,064. And for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast time meeting, the reference number is 11,066. And our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsing food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stacy T. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Stacy T. calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Thanks for your service, Kathy. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Stacy T. I will now ask Mary Jane Z. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, may I be heard?
Yes.
Hello, fellow visionaries. This is Mary Jane Z., recovered in Kentucky. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are accepted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups, or OA, as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Mary Jane Z. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 28, the third paragraph. And I will ask Ashley P. to get us started.
Hi, this is Ashley P., recovered in Northern California. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Ashley.
Thank you. The distinguished American psychologist William James, in his book, Varieties of Religious Experience, indicates a multitude of ways in which men have discovered God. We have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are the children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. Those having religious affiliations will find here nothing disturbing to their beliefs or ceremonies. There is no friction among us over such matters. We think it no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify themselves with as individuals. This should be an entirely personal affair which each one decides for himself in the light of past associations or his present choice. Not all of us join religious bodies, but most of us favor such memberships. Really powerful paragraphs. I'm really, really grateful to be on the line today and to give some service, and I thank everybody else for their service. So the line that's sticking out to me is, if what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are the children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. That really hits my heart today. For such a long time, I thought that I was different than everybody else, and I thought that I was more broken and more disconnected from my higher power, and that this program could work for other people, but it couldn't work for me. And that was because somehow I was less of a child of my higher power than everybody else. I had gone on my addictions for too long. I had wandered too far, and this paragraph and that sentence in particular just reminds me that that's not the case, that that's not even a possibility. So for anybody that feels like they have just wandered too far and that they can't form that relationship or that they're different, I'm here to say that that's just not the case. And this paragraph also just makes me think of all of the different ways that I really did try and acquire faith over the years. I guess some part of me probably understood that faith was what was called for. I would try yoga and meditation and spiritual retreats and going to temple. And all of those things I actually find very helpful in abstinence, but they're helpful because I am in this book and I have a sponsor and I go to meetings and I work the steps. They just don't have a chance of being helpful for me on their own. So then the last words in that are willing and honest enough to try. And then that, if I was reading this book for the first time, I would think, well, great, but how would I be able to, how would I try? And the answer is to just get into the steps, to follow direction and to begin to do what somebody else who you see has recovery does, just be willing to listen. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Ashley P. Okay, who would like to share in what Ashley read?
John K.
John K.
E. B.
Wendy M.
Sylvia F. Kathleen O.
Dorita P.
Okay, let me stop there for a minute.
Roz G.
Okay, Roz, got you. Okay, so I have John K. Liat. Was that Liat K. E. B.?
Julie E. B.
The first name again?
Julie. That's okay.
Wendy M., Sylvia F., Kathleen O., Dorita P., and Roz G. Let's stop there for our first round. And John K., please go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks for your service, Team Mondays. I'm John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And happy birthday, Wendy. You know, I did a special edition back in December about finding a higher power. And to prep for it, I went and read James's variety of religious experiences again, or let me put it this way, I had read it, or rather tried to read it many years ago. It's a really dense book to read, but in it he speaks this one thing I just love. He talks about how people come to their beliefs, and sadly it isn't through any deep introspection or intellectual exercise. Instead, what James says is the average believer's religion is made for him by others, communicated to him by tradition, determined to fix forms by imitation and retained by habit. You know, and that was certainly the case of me. I mean, I was raised in a religion that my mother gave to me and her mother gave to her and so on and so on. And at no point was there any introspection or consideration of what God was or how that force interacted in our lives. You know, we had a hand-me-down God, essentially, you know, not a God of my own understanding or their understanding, certainly not a God we felt any connection or conscious contact with, you know. And it was a rule-making God. It was a punishing God when you didn't follow the rules. It was a male God, and it was certainly not a loving God, in my opinion. And so when the program, you know, I came to told me I had to turn to that God for help, I just couldn't make that work in my brain, you know. But I was told to just keep coming. Keep coming, keep an open mind. And I was able to agree to that, you know, but just that. What I came to understand is that we all have to come to belief. And even if a person has a belief, even a well-embedded belief, they have to come to believe that that higher power can help them with their problem. You know, I mean, I've known and been in meetings with Catholic priests and ministers and rabbis, nuns, cantors, you know, who all came to a 12-step program to find that higher power. You know, if it was a conscious contact alone, they wouldn't need to be here. But, you know, and for me to construct my own higher power, I had to deconstruct that hand-me-down higher power I'd been given. I needed to find one that would help me with my problem. You know, I had to throw out certain beliefs about a higher power and how it worked in my life. You know, first, God was not Santa Claus. I had always had lists, and if, you know, God followed them, then okay, I'll believe. That didn't work. I also couldn't demand that my higher power explain all the things in the world that seemed wrong and why if they existed, there couldn't be a higher power to prevent it, you know. You know, my job, as the program later taught me, was just to align myself with the concept of a higher power, not the other way around, and to also believe that God works through people and certainly through program. And I did get a belief in a program, and then later I really did get, in my opinion, this is certainly just me, that this is a God-given program. This is God's gift to the 20th century, as I like to say, that this program was brought to help people get out of addiction. And it was a slow process, you know. Slowly but surely, I came to believe, just, you know, mainly through that spiritual experience of the educational variety. They mentioned spiritual experience. So all I can say is it was a long journey, and if you keep at it, you will find a way. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, John K. Julie E.B., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today by the grace of God in Colorado. I was so blessed by the earlier meeting today in this whole concept of discovering God being also a simple plan of action. And for me, finding God did not happen by staying in my binge foods and expecting that fat and crazy thinking would magically disappear. The spiritual life is a part of the simple program of action as well. Someone the first hour said we gain access through the doing. So I act to connect with my higher power and be a lesser power, as was discussed in the special edition every day, each time I take action in this program. So I act as a lesser power by reaching out to a fellow or by following direction. I act by eating the foods that are good for me without comparing to what the rest of the world is eating. Each time I act and say, I don't know, instead of controlling. Each time I pause and remind myself I'm not running the show. Each time I slow down to the next right thought or action, because it turns out I don't know the future 8 steps ahead and I can't manage or manipulate it for my satisfaction. Each time I act out of gratitude and not self-pity, each time I do the actions for the step I'm on, or do step 10 and find forgiveness, or pick a corrective action in step 11, or serve with step 12. I had a religion that I would share with others was quite gracious and loving to everyone except me. To me, in my head, in the food, my higher power was harsh and condemning and blaming and shaming. I was never enough. I kept sitting around waiting for others and the world to be easier before I could trust. But now I act my way towards a God, towards discovering a God, as it says here, who is gracious and merciful with my shortcomings, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The food was never steadfast. It was only there for a few minutes. So if you're just getting started, I hope you will find something that is steadfast. And I hope that that you can see it the way I've seen it in all of you. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Wendy M., please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Wendy. I'm recovered in Colorado and so grateful to be on the line, and I thank God for the abstinence I have this morning, and I thank all of you and Kathy for your service. So what I get from these paragraphs is just differences, right? So my life was focused on differences, race, creed, color, class, it didn't matter, religion. My family was absolutely of that intolerant, right? We were the progressive Jewish family that was intolerant of anyone who wasn't progressive or Jewish. And differences were scary, right? And how am I different? And my head was really just full of how are we different, you know, at all times. I remember my first meeting 17 years ago, I walked into the rooms. My first thought was, huh, these people look different than me. And it turns out 17 years later that we're all sisters and brothers, as people say so beautifully in this program. And you know, when I focus on the differences, right, it's a distraction. That's all it is. It's just fear and distraction. And it turns out that it also keeps me separate from you and from God, especially. You know, and then it talks about in this, there's only, right, this one, there's not just one way to God. And, you know, even in vision, I remember I'd go to my face-to-face meetings and I was like an evangelist. I was like, this is the only way. I wouldn't say that, but it's absolutely what I felt. This is the only way to God. And there's only one way. And I had a closed mind and a fixed mind, you know, and they say set aside what we think we know. And it turns out that there's thousands of ways to get to God. And it was just my fear, right, coming in, like I got the answer and you pretty much need to follow it. And can't you see how recovered I am? So I just love to laugh at myself. And today when I see differences, I actually don't see them. And that's kind of the miracle here. Like it says, there's no friction among us over such matters. That is unbelievable. And to me, that's a testament of the traditions, that the traditions that we practice make OA a safe place to land. And we accept differences, and not just religious differences, all sorts of differences. You know, we have a unity with diversity policy. And to me, though, it is a bloody miracle that we can be together and we don't have friction over matters that I had friction over my whole life, right, before I got into program. And then it says also we don't have to convince people. And I just love that word. You know, it's not about convincing. This is a program, as someone said in the first hour, it's experiential, right? So all I know is I have experience. I don't know anything else. I really, truly don't know anything else. And if I am trying to convince you, that's probably not very useful at all for me or for you, you know. And this, and just one last thing about this friction being a miracle that we don't have it, gives me so much freedom, right? I can walk into a room and we're there completely together because we have the same problem. And more importantly, we have the same solution, and that there is a solution is the bloody miracle of it all. And anyone on this line right now can get that miracle in an instant. You either are going to be in, I'll either be in Wendy's world or I'm in God's world. And in that instant, in this instant, I can be with God instantly. And I can get this freedom, and I can get out of the debating society, and I can join all of you, you know, in this solution, and there is one, and that's a miracle. And today I'm celebrating my belly button birthday. Thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Wendy. Sylvia F., please go ahead.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Sylvia F. in Northern California. And so happy to be here with all of you this morning. There is so much chock full in this paragraph, which is so interesting because this is not a paragraph I've paid a lot of attention to. And so, you know, if you're new on the line and, you know, you keep on hearing this God thing and you go, you know, what the heck? This is not what I signed up for. You know, I didn't either. What I signed up for was relief from my brain, from my eating and my brain. I was out of control, could not stop eating. My life was unmanageable. And so I came in and they told me I had to find a higher power. And I came in and went, I named it Not Me, because I had no idea how to find God. I didn't care, but I was so miserable and so desperate that I just started with acknowledging that I was not in charge because the world would be very different if it was. Of course, I thought it would be better, but, you know, it would be different, certainly. So here it says that this book indicates a multitude of ways in which men have discovered God. And if that God word bothers you, just get rid of the God word. You know, had men have discovered nature, men have discovered tides, you know, it doesn't matter. Discovered something outside of myself, and that I can't persuade you about how to believe in God and or what that's like, and you can't persuade me. But what we're about to do is we're about to launch into this discussion on faith. And what happened is when I got into the program and I could see other people had serenity, had normal body sizes. They didn't seem quite so crazy. I could see a lightness in their eye. I could have faith in that, and that was enough. And so it says, and this has been the theme all the way through, it always gives us a qualifier, if, you know, look for that if at the beginning of the sentence, what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all. So if, then it means that whoever we are, we can form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. This is the theme. If we're willing to follow the directions, if we're willing and honest enough to try, this is the promise, is that we will find a power greater than ourselves. And why do we want to do that? Because it's not working this way. It's not working with me in charge. And even though I'm recovered, I have bad days where I can see here my time's up and I'll stop. I have hard, you know, rocky days. And what this book does and the text does is tells me how to get out of myself and back into a higher power and not follow my own. And I get relief immediately, instantly. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sylvia F. Kathleen O., please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for your great shares. And thank you, Kathy, for your service this morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in California. We have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. So what is faith? I looked up faith, and faith is complete trust or confidence in something or someone. It's also a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. And we're told that this is not a religious program, but rather a spiritual program. And for me, spirituality is a concept where I can, you know, maintain some religious credibility outside of religious institutions, because I'm really not, I was raised with a religion and sort of put that aside. So when I came in, this whole God thing was kind of challenging for me. And, you know, the text is deeply spiritual. Bill W. consistently used the word God. And yet the decision to use higher power and God of your understanding was really important for people like me in making this text appeal to non-religious and non-Christian people. So the words, as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try, I had to be willing because I was out of tricks. I was able to control my eating until I wasn't. And when I became restless, irritable, discontented, my solution was to eat. So this chapter is, there is a solution. And the solution, it's about how to solve this eating problem and finding a way out, how to recover from a hopeless condition of mind and body. I mean, I could relate to all of this. It summarizes the real alcoholic or compulsive overeater, how we're powerless, how we'd be able to stop after a few bites, but we couldn't, which makes us powerless, how we lose control once we start, that we're incredibly dishonest and selfish when it comes to our addiction. I mean, all of these things I could relate to. So, you know, there is a solution, and it's really a soul-searching leveling of our pride, confession of shortcomings. This is all in this chapter. and we need to pick up the spiritual tools laid at our feet and be rocketed into that fourth dimension. So it's explained that we must have this vital spiritual experience where we have this emotional rearrangement of how we think, how we feel, how we act. And finally, we need to form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms with our Creator. You know, that power is deep down inside every man, woman, and child, no matter of race, creed, or color. And I personally had to discover a power greater than myself and a God that was unique. Excuse me. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. A God that was unique to me. You know, the supreme reality, perfect in power, wisdom, and goodness. And that's what I needed, and that's what I was able to find. And thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen. Oh, Dorita P., please go ahead.
I'm sorry, was that Dorita?
Yeah, go ahead, Dorita.
Oh. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service. Hi, my name is Dorita P. from Cleveland, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and really grateful to be here. Well, it's a privilege and honor to be in a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I am really grateful I have a seat here. And I'm grateful we're reading about this. This is the line that stood out for me. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are the children of a living Creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and able enough to try. Yes, I was angry at God when I came in about 18 years ago. I was angry at God, or actually 22 years ago, when I came into my first 12-step fellowship. So I don't know, four or five people died in a couple years, so people were just dying, people that was real important to me. So I felt, well, if there is a God, he sure hasn't done anything for me. And for me, acting as if there is no God just means treating people any kind of way. You know, I believe God's people any kind of way, you know, walking over them, you know. And so, but to act as if there is a God, that means I'm taking very good care, or, you know, when I'm dealing with people. And I heard somebody say, it's better to believe now that there is a God and treat people right now than to act as if there is no God and, you know, treat people poorly and find out later there is a God. For me, I believe, this is just my own personal belief, that I find out if there is a God or about God when I die, when I pass away. So I'm a act as if there is a God, because if I act as if there is no God, I feel like I may be in trouble later. So that's just my own personal belief. And I'm just really grateful for this program, because today I do have a power greater than myself, because on my own power, you know, I was suffering. So, you know, I had to try something different. And I'm grateful that this is a thing I tried different. And I'm just really grateful for this program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Dorita P. Roz G., please go ahead. Roz, press star one.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was unmuted. This is Roz G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County. And what really stuck out for me this morning was how it says that any person of race, creed, or color can form a relationship with their Creator. Last night I was working with a sponsee on we were talking about this same thing, and I kind of lost place where we were in the meetings, not realizing that we were going to talk about, you know, in a way, higher power today. And so I study the book all the time, and every time I study it, I go to a deeper level somewhere. And so I'm getting trained, and training my mind is going into the direction of, you know, picking apart a sentence in the big book and looking at it in a deeper way. And so forming a relationship. Well, as a kid, you know, I was raised a Catholic. And so God was a picture of Jesus Christ hanging on a cross in the front of the church in agony. And Mary and the saints beside him on either side, and different saints, statues. That's kind of what God was to me. I did not have any relationship with God. They were just figures. And the priest hanging, you know, handing out the communion. Not really understanding. And then my parents send me to, you know, catechism and, you know, stuff like that during the week. I still didn't really have a relationship. And I became a Christian and sort of had a little bit of a relationship. But after I started studying the big book, I really started to form a relationship. So, and recently, it gets deeper. And recently I've been instructed to write. What do I need my higher power to be? And during meditation, I was thinking about how sometimes my dad, I kind of think about God as my dad, like my earthly father and my heavenly father. And my earthly father was emotionally unavailable. He is an alcoholic who really wasn't able to express his feelings. And so I didn't have emotional stuff with my dad. And so I don't mean to go way off this paragraph, but what I'm talking about is forming a relationship with my creator. So I have been working on and meditating and thinking deeply about my relationship with my creator. I am of a, not the, the prominent creed, color creed and religion in America. I'm a little different. You know, and I believe that, oh, I'm so grateful that the big book, talks about how everybody, no matter who they are, can have a relationship and be accepted. So who do I need my creator to be? Loving, kind, understanding, close, emotionally available, powerful, enough power to relieve me of the compulsion to overeat. And it goes deeper. But
time.
Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Okay, we have time for several more shares. Who would like to share?
Reva P.
Marin K. from Los Angeles.
Deborah
Joanne B.
Okay, uh-huh. 1 second, please. I heard Reva P., Marin K., and Joanne B. There was someone after Reva I didn't get.
Deborah P.
Deborah, what was your last initial, Deborah?
P as in Peter.
Okay, and then someone else was trying to get in.
Morel.
I'm sorry, can we try one at a time?
Joyce O.
Joyce O. And who else?
Noel M.
I'm sorry, you're coming exactly the same time. Was there Noel?
Yes, Noel F.
Noel S. And so there must be one more person I didn't get.
Pat K.
Pat K. Okay, we'll stop there. Hoping we can get to all of you. Reva P., please get us started on this round.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I'm so grateful for this meeting.
We lost you, Reva. Press star one.
Hi, this is Reva P. Can you hear me now?
Now I can, yes.
Okay, great. Hi, it's Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and very grateful for this meeting. So a couple of things struck me. The first thing is that the header at the top of the page says there is a solution. And when I first came in, I thought the solution was to get my food in order and then go on and get on with my life. But this paragraph reminds me that the solution is not about being abstinent only. The solution is about finding a power and having a connection and a relationship with that power. And I love what was shared because I thought if I could just read enough and think enough and spend long enough in a meditation exercise, then I would have access to this higher power thing. And it didn't work. And this paragraph reminds me that it is about the action. So being willing and honest enough to try reminds me of steps 1 and 2. And forming a relationship is really the rest of the steps, like 3 to 12. So I can't go to step 11 where I have this open connection, relationship, dialogue with a power greater than myself if I don't do the steps that come before. And it really is, every time I work through, you know, a 10, 11, 12, I get a better understanding of my higher power's will for me and how he would have me be. And the last thing I wanted to share is, you know, this is an equal opportunity disease, but it's also an equal opportunity recovery. And it says no matter what faith, creed, color, you know, anybody who just does what it says and follows the instructions has the ability to recover just like anybody else. I don't have to be smarter, this, that, or the other thing. And for that, I'm so grateful, and I will pass.
Thank you, Reva P. Deborah P., please go ahead.
This is Deborah P. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. Thanks. Let me take this off speaker. There we go. This really speaks to me. When I first came into recovery in another program, you know, I really had a hard time with this. I didn't grow up with any kind of higher power in my life. And I did when I was little. I don't know where that came from. But then when I started down the road of addiction, I lost that contact. And then when I came into recovery, hearing that I needed to find a power greater than myself, you know, I thought that everybody in the room was a bunch of Jesus freaks and I didn't want any part of it. And I had people trying to shove their God down my throat. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't think this is right. And then, you know, over the years, realizing that it was of my own understanding really helped me. And I went through all different types you know, I had the group, I had my sponsor, which wasn't a good idea. I had a tree, you know, all different higher powers, anything greater than me, the ocean, the wind. And I've kind of settled back to the God of my understanding when I was little. And, you know, I had a sponsor that just loved me and just was so patient with me trying to find my way. And I love the fact that we can come in and just find our way, and that our definition of a higher power can change, and it doesn't matter what it is, just as long as it's greater than us. And if I had come in and had to believe in somebody else's higher power, I definitely would not have stayed. And I love this. We have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. You know, it's our own path. And that's what I love that about this program. I just love that because it really is growth and it really is whatever works for you at the time. At least for me, it's whatever worked for me at the time. And it's grown and changed and it continues to grow and change. And getting to know that higher power just is an amazing journey. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah P. Marin K., go ahead, please.
Hi, sorry. Thank you for moderating the meeting. And this is a very good part of the big book. It simply states that anyone can recover no matter what you believe or don't believe. And when I first came into the program, I wasn't in the program. I was in a hospital for anorexia, bulimia. I was 75 pounds, and a rabbi came in and blessed me, and he saw my big book, and he said, and I had a big Jewish star around my neck, and he said, hopefully you'll believe in all religions. And I never forgot that. So through the journey of my 23 years of abstinence, I've always encased everybody's belief system and not really pinned down anything other than good orderly direction and maybe God speaks through people. I've had a rose be my higher power, like others have said. I've joined different religious places in order to have a different 11 steps, but it still gets back to the big book, because when I read the big book with my sponsor or I even pick up the big book, I have a Bible. This big book tells me everything I need to know. And it's a holy book. And when I first started the program, my sponsor sat me down and started to read the big book with me. And I was a person who was in and out of 8 different hospitals trying to get better. And simply sitting down with my sponsor and reading the big book brought me a feeling of a higher power. I can't explain it. And I get angry at God, and he can take it. I have a relationship with my higher power. I heard yesterday a great meeting that I'm lesser than my higher power. That's all I need to know. I can give my higher power qualities that I like. I've tried that before. I just believe that there is no reason why we can't all recover. And one quick thing I'll say is that if you're having trouble, say the Serenity Prayer. And I need to hear myself say that, because there are issues in my life that are difficult right now. And that Serenity Prayer, I said that 23 years ago, and I fed myself for the first time because I was starving myself to death. So the Serenity Prayer is a no-nonsense, perfect prayer for anyone in trouble. And I hope you all have a beautiful, abstinent day.
Thank you, Marin K. We have only 4 minutes, so unfortunately I won't be able to hear Noel or Pat today. I'm very sorry. And I want to ask Joanne B. and Joyce O. to limit their shares to 2 minutes each. So please go ahead, Joanne B.
Hi, this is Joanne B. from Texas, and I want to say first that I'm so grateful for this book and for our group. I just love to be fed by the things that are offered by everyone. And it was so funny coming in. I was raised in a religious background, and we had a mother who taught me of a God that was loving. And so in that sense, I was blessed. But when I came in, I was set free by the one sentence of this God of my own understanding. And it was just so liberating to me. And I don't have my book right with me, but just this whole idea of a creator that that anyone can come to, and that there's different ways to come to find him or that creator, that higher power, and it's just so liberating. And I guess with that, I would also say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to just go where you're at, find that higher power that you understand, because it'll grow. I know that he's grown for me. He's grown in me where I understand him even a little more, and just the love that for me, my higher power is that daddy that I never had, the one that was faithful, that
that's time.
Thank you very much. But thank you very much, and I'll pass to my next fellow.
Thank you very much, B. And Joyce O., please wrap up with your share. Thank you. Joyce, press star 1 to unmute. Is Joyce there on the line? Okay, Noel, are you still available? And how about Pat K?
This is Joyce O. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay,
I'm here.
Okay, Joyce, you'll be our last share. Sorry, I didn't hear you. Thank you.
Sorry, I had trouble getting unmuted. Yes. This is Joyce O from Colorado, compulsive overeater, bulimic. And I just wanted to say that I'm so grateful for my higher power. It took me a very long time to find him. I've been bulimic since I was 11 years old, and I'm 66 now. And 5.5 months ago, I found him. I found my solution, and I'm walking in the steps, and I'm working the program like I never have before, because I've been in and out of the program for years. So I learned that if I work the program, my higher power will take care of me and help me. And I have a sponsor now, and I'm growing and doing the steps. And I just wanted to say to everyone, hang in there. Even if you can't find your higher power at first, don't give up. Just keep trying. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joyce O. And unfortunately, we have to close the meeting now. Thank you, everyone who was here and who shared. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Kathleen O., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.